from the Mightier Studios. Here's Mark on this Monday, June 26, 2023.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the one, the only MYTR broadcast. I'm your host, Mark St. Cyr, and this, of course, is Monday, June 26, 2023. Now, we're going to go into a couple of topics. Yeah, thank you. We'll get into a couple of topics right now that I've been wanting to kind of touch upon. Again, as I expressed last week, there have been some things that I just wanted to get to, but I could not get to. And in response to that, instead of getting to them, I totally went a different way and went down this AI rabbit hole. And it's important to understand why I've been doing this and where it's going. And for some of you who, again, visit the website all the time and you go into my latest writings, you'll see that, again, we have now posted a part two. It's very short. But it says what it needs to say, and it's in reference to what was in part one. And for those of you that don't, you know, you're brand new here, you've just found us, what you need to do is go in, front page, you'll see it, latest writings, and that'll bring you to everything that I've been talking about and writing about as of late. Now, why is this important? There are a couple things that need to be addressed. So let's get into them. First off, the latest in the part two, and yes, we'll be getting into markets. Yes, we'll be getting into what's going on in the world and everything else. But this, again, I believe is the most important aspect of everything right now. Because in the coming days and weeks, well, I shouldn't say that, really. Coming days, weeks, and going forward, probably into eternity, you are now in a world, and I am trying to, again, show this in great detail using myself and the website and different things as the example. Because, again, most other people won't. And the reason why they won't is because they could be exposed. People are not going to want to show you what I have been showing you, especially, and take this point and write it down, that you may interpret as a credible authority on any subject. Because there are a lot of people parading as such, but they have no true credibility or insight. I'll give you a classic example, again, using myself as the exemplar. For years, since you understood it, the idea of social media and SEO and everything else, especially if you're a website owner, you were told and sold, and you advertisers, and I know you're here, need to listen to this also. You were told and sold that the only way you could gain any traction, be anything on the web, do this, do that, I don't care, fill in the blank with whatever you want, was you needed, you had to be, you, again, it was an imperative to be on social media everywhere and anywhere. And you had to do it in this fashion or else, you would be able to do a squat. Fine. As some of you have heard me say before, I used to do pro bono speeches at executive, what they call executive and entrepreneurial centers. And what is that? Well, you've seen them. They're basically across the country in certain locales. And they're basically kind of a co-op thing. They'll take up sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes more, complete office buildings in some office park in some general, you know, usually a localized city of, you know, substance. And what will happen is they'll rent it out to, again, budding entrepreneurs. You might have a small business. You might be by yourself and everything else. And it's kind of like this thing that we understood then it collapsed, called like WeWork. That was a basic, let's just say, morphing into a destructive model of what entrepreneur centers really were. This was where, well, instead of going at the Starbucks and doing your business, you could be, you know, around other people and pay for a desk space, and you could interact, you know, all that other stuff. And again, oh, this company's going to be worth 1,700 billion quazillion, and the owner wants to be the first trillionaire, and blah, blah, blah. He's so fantastic. And it collapsed. Went into bankruptcy. Everybody basically lost their money. General statement, but you get it. Look it up yourself. WeWork, W-E-W-O-R-K. I think it's back in some different type of form because, again, money can be as stupid as dirt. But then again, this is the world that we're in. Now, why is this important? It's important because I used to do these speeches. Now, for those of you who don't like to hear it, I know it makes you cringe. But again, it is what it is. I'm sorry, but that's what the price is. Again, for some people, especially the ones who want to tell me that I'm wrong, it usually costs more than their annual salary to have me speak for an hour. And in relative terms, if you were in this area of speech and insight and all this other stuff, you would understand that my price is actually not that expensive. And if you were with me the other day, and I'll just say this generally, this was when I was at 35,000 to speak. I'm now 55 plus. We were going higher, but because of COVID and everything else and the changing models, I kept it the same because I'm that kind of guy. But listen to me, because you have to understand this. People will say to me, yeah, I can't believe that you charge nobody. Really? Okay. Let me give you an example. Do you remember, and I think it's come back in some type of fashion, but do you remember that show, The Jersey Shore, or something like that, where they had Snooki? Remember that? She was kind of like, you know, this is before Kardashian was the influencer in finance that she was. You know, Snooki was a big thing. Do you know how much Snooki was for a one-hour keynote appearance? At the time, I was 35 grand, so was Snooki. And the reason why you have to understand this is are you going to listen to what Snooki has to say on when it comes to business insight? She's the same price as me. Well, back then. Why would you hire her? If you were having a confab and it was people of business and money and blah, 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 well, wouldn't you want me instead of Snooki for the same price? Especially, I am so brilliant. I mean, just ask my mother. Why would you have Snooki rather than me? Or why not me? This is the question and the types of answers that most people cannot discern for themselves. Which is also why I have an inherent value different than most other people. Because unlike most other people, and through my agent and everything else, depending on what the confab was trying to do, and you can even read it in my promotional material. I think it's still on the web if you want to hire me for a speaker. Just talk. You got to call Vivi over Street Cry, but there you go. But basically, we'll tell you, what's your objective? Because the thing about it is, whether or not you hire me or you hire Snooki, most people, especially, and this gets me in trouble with it, but I don't care because I don't need them. The planners, they just want to get their fee. So they'll book whomever. Well, you can't book me that way. It all depends on what the person writing the check wants to accomplish. Because so that you understand this, if I come in for a speech, I don't come in for the audience and what they want. I come in to who's writing the check and deliver what they want. Because, you know, the audience might not want to hear what the boss or whoever is putting on the confab wants to get across. Why is this important? Back to the Snooki model. As I was telling you with the Kim Kardashian episode just last week, Kim Kardashian is out doing what? She's in front of all the people who are basically in charge of your retirement IRAs. You know, the people that put that money to work. Again, this is a generalization, but you get it. Listening to her trying to raise, you know, $500 million from each, you know, as a stop. Because what? Well, you know, whatever she's doing is, you know, supposedly going to be all kinds of money. Well, then, are you saying that Snooki is a great business insight? Well, nothing against Snooki, but no. Because nobody is there, just like it was pretty much assumed by, again, the actions and the questions being asked of Kim Kardashian. It wasn't to basically gain money for the people who were there to look in, to invest money in. They were there because they want to see Kim Kardashian. However, same thing with Snooki. If you had a place, and the difference between was hiring Snooki and hiring myself, depending on the crowd, if the promoter or the person who was paying the bill said, I need to fill the seats. I'm selling tickets at X amount. I need to fill the seats. And I think Mark would give the kind of content that would fill those seats. So in actuality, we would discern that you're not really looking for Mark because of the content to deliver to your people. You're more concerned with filling the seats and then having content as the second, not the first. In that case, you would be better off with Snooki. Because the thing about it is, you have to understand, the people in the audience aren't there to listen. Maybe some are, but again. But in that type of a situation, just like we use with Kim Kardashian doing what she did a week ago, people aren't there to listen to Snooki's business insights or Kim Kardashian's. I'm sorry about Kim. I know she's very successful at what she does. But if I was going to listen and I wanted to understand about what she does, well, then maybe. But, you know, as far as her insights on finance and business and all that other stuff, yeah, no. Because I'm not going to go out and make a sex tape to get my name done. You see what I mean? See how that goes? A lot of you are like, oh, that's a low shot. That ain't a low shot. It's how it started. It's how it started and capitalized on. I mean, I'm sorry, but we're adults here. Now, back to the Snooki. Why am I saying what I'm saying? It's because Snooki is a what? She's a media figure. There are a lot of people that'll pay for tickets just to be able to see her. Because she's got a media following. She's a personality, whatever the case may be. That's not going to be the case with me. However, if your audience basically is coming for one thing and she is on the stage as kind of like a, how should I say, more of an attraction rather than what the attraction is of insight, well, then your audience isn't going to really care. They're there to see her, just like with Kim Kardashian. Were some people there to invest money and wanted to invest money because they think that she's a money train? Well, maybe, and maybe she is. I mean, she's got proof in the pudding, if you wish, when it comes to some of that. However, if somebody like Snooki, and I'm not picking on Snooki, but again, I think it's a good example. If you're there and you need somebody to fill the seats, she's far more valuable than I am. Far more, because if you don't fill your seats, you might go broke. And that's what you're trying to do. It's not that you're trying to deliver the information that somebody like myself would basically do. Why? Why is this important? It's because, think of the audience. Think of the audience that they're selling the tickets to. If you're selling the tickets because you're going to, again, you're putting up, you're showing as the reason why they should buy the tickets and why they're paying to buy those tickets, that they're going to be drenched in brilliance. And then you put up somebody like Snooki, your audience, you're never going to have another shot at them. They're going to be ticked. They're not there to see Snooki, even though she's as big as she is. They bought and you sold them tickets based on, again, insight that they can't get anywhere else. And that insight isn't on what is the Jersey Shore. You understand my premise here? However, if you fill the room and you sell tickets that, again, in the usual case, are in the usually four digits to start, and you are promoting it as business and insight and XYZ and everything else, and again, you put somebody like me up in front of those people who will be able to deliver information, insight, that they deem as both credible and valuable. Well, if you do all you have to do is the math. If you do a 500 seat confab at $4,000 a seat, I'm pretty cheap. But I'm also, again, almost a near guarantee that you're going to solve the needs and fulfill the needs of the people in there, because they'll believe that it was worth their ticket price and you'll be able to sell them again. But if, again, you're doing it just to fill the seats and you put somebody like me and they came for some type of celebrity type status, no matter what I try to make my resume into, they're not going to care. And vice versa. So what does this all have to do with social media and everything else? Well, I'm using social media stars and, again, the pretty much what we consider right now pulp media and everything else. I told you, and I started this, that I used to do free speeches to entrepreneurial centers. And this was in the height, especially in the start and as it went through with social media. And I've said, and I've given the explanation 1,000 different times, but I'll give it one more time. I would inherently, because I would do these pro bono. So obviously, because I was doing them for free, then actually that I'm just out there, you know, trying to get a speaking gig for $500, as most do. The world is littered with them. Nothing against them. Everybody is there. I've been there myself. But this is to set the table. So you have in the room of entrepreneurs, people who are into social media, into their Twitters, into this, into that, and they're selling services, whatever the case may be. And it's kind of like, let's stump the speaker. Let's put this guy on his back foot. He thinks he knows what he's talking about. Let's show how he doesn't know crap. And then they would proceed to pepper me with different types of questions and everything else. And I would tell them, and yes, I didn't use social media. And I've never used social media. Well, what about hits? How many hits on your website? I don't care about hits. How many hits do you get? Well, we get 100,000. We've got 1 million subscribers. Fantastic. Well, I'll just use one hit to my website. Just one. I'll use my one against yours. And then the room would go like, you know, you'd have that Clint Eastwood theme running across. I say, I'll use my one against all of yours. You ready? You have a million subscribers. You have Twitter. You have social media. You have this. You have that. You have 100,000 people look at your stuff or read your stuff or whatever it is. And usually it's some type of post from someone. Then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I have one, and I'll just use one reference. One hit to my website, but it's a news organization. That news organization takes and puts me out across their social media and their other different media sources where I'm in front of, 3 to 5 million Twitter users, an audience of 45 to 100 million users, and I am cited as the expert. And it's a major publication. And not only that, but that's just one. Usually, let's use when they happen to be 10, you can take that and you can 10x it on any given day. So I don't have a social media account. I don't have any of the hits that you're talking about. I don't have this. I don't have that. You have all of it. And I'm going to ask you, who is using all of that better to a greater result? Your strategy that's telling everybody how to use all of it, or mine who uses none of it?
Mark returns after this short break.
Welcome back. All right, let's get into a few things that are going on. I spent a little bit too much time. I got Brian apoplectic at me. You're overtime! So, I don't want to cut this section or this thing short today, but I want to get to a couple of topics that, again, I haven't been able to get at. Again, staying a little bit with the AI thing. The reason why I'm posing these different things and in the context that I am doing, it's because of this. Nobody else is going to do this. Very few. Not only very few will, very few can. Especially with, again, the authority of which I am speaking from. And the reason for it is this. My biggest concern and the questions that I get asked all the time are two things as of late. Number one, you keep saying you're going behind a wall. So how is your stuff going to get out? Because people want to know what this new business model is going to be. And I'm not going to get into that today, but I'm just saying. And number two, are you afraid that people are going to wrap you into the same type of, let's just say, questioning what you say, that you're calling about questioning all the other people? The experts. Are you afraid that you're going to fall into that? I said yes. And it is why I'm doing what you asked in the first question. Because they both go hand in hand, and one makes the other one, I think, both more valuable and a little bit more credibility. And again, the reason for it is this. As I started today, and I showed you with an article, what you have to do, and it's important that you read that. That article is important for this reason. It's not what the article contains, it's how it was created. And as I showed you in part one, I took Charles Hugh Smith's article, and just did what they call spin writing, right? It just took Charles's entire article, 1,000-word article, whoop, and spun it using different words, different phrasing, different examples. Some were the same, some were not, and wrote it and blah, 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 and did that whole thing and took about 60 seconds. Now, that took using Charles's insight. So that in part one is showing using somebody else's material, somebody else's expertise. And that's the reason why I did it this way, was how that can be spun, and you would basically not know the wiser. And not only that, the author, well, what's going to be their type of response? What are they going to be able to do? I think pretty much, at least for right now, nothing. I think it's just going to be the Wild West, as the internet and everything else used to be. And the reason for this is because it is the Wild West. How do you mandate supposed copyright protection when this is what we do as human beings to begin with? Again, there is nothing new under the sun. I would love to tell you I am the smartest person on this planet, even though my mother has told me that every single day. But my insights come from, as has been said a billion times over, because I stand on the shoulders of other giants. I am just basically rephrasing, repurposing, thinking about things in a different way that these people before me and have been doing for centuries have already done. Just like I say, basically your modern day movie stars and film and everything that's of any real value today, even music and all this other stuff, is all just variations of something that came prior. Now, when it comes to music, we have certain things with melody and blah, blah, blah that we can say, okay, that is your copying. Because why? Because it sounds exactly the same. Doesn't sound like it. It sounds pretty much the same. You can do certain different types of forensic analysis and you can say, no, this is exactly the same. Here's the beat. Here's the melody. Here's the lines. Here's the word. But, well, it's not that way with ideas. And the thing about it is, like, again, I could write a book tomorrow, Think and Grow Rich, Mark St. Cyr. And the title is not protected. If I write something that's totally different than Napoleon Hill did, then I really pretty much can't be stopped. I mean, people might say this is pure copyright infringement from the, again, the pedestrian view, the, again, public view. But in a court of law, as long as the material was completely different, said in different ways, I didn't copy phrases, I didn't copy titles, I didn't copy the structure, I didn't copy this, that, and the other. The book title itself, you can't copyright that. But it would be a bad public move to do that because, again, people would laugh at you. Until, again, you know, maybe 100 more years from now, somebody will. Because it won't be. Because people are copying titles from books from 100 years ago all over the place. But here's the point now. How do you know? You see, in this part two that I wrote on the website, I just gave it a headline. That's it. I think the headline is 7 words. I might be off, but I just gave it a headline. And then I said, write. And it did. And it gave me, it pushed out a, what we'll call a post, or a small article, or it could be anywhere. But a perfectly formatted, punctuation, grammatical piece. Sign my name to it. Publish it. Nobody's the wiser. less than 30 seconds to create, start to finish. Here's the titles. Entered. Boom. Right. Boop. Hey, my copyright. Publish. Done. About that fast. It took me to write the explanation on what was created above a lot longer. But how would you know? How would you know that I did not create that piece myself? Because I can claim authority over it. I can claim that it is mine. And the reason for it, for somebody like myself, is I can claim that because, number one, it is my title. Sure, AI generated, but these ideas are out in the ether. They're ideas about that title that can't be copyright. And pretty much nobody else has written about it the way that that AI wrote about it and with that title. Now, is it wrong? Well, that's the double-edged question, right? The double edge is, how can you tell if it's wrong? Now, with somebody like myself, if you're of, let's just say, and I know there's a lot of you there, there are a lot of you out there that are a lot smarter than I am, but let's just use my basic intelligence, right? My actual intelligence, not my AI, my actual intelligence. That would be a pretty low bar for you. Because I believe you, just by dint of being here, are far smarter than you think you are. But if I look it over, and I read that content, and I agree with that content, I say, you know what, that's exactly the idea. Yep, okay, I agree with that. That's exactly the idea. Yeah, that's probably phrased better than I would, because you all know I'm such a grammatical wordsmith, right? I mean, you can... Somebody asked me one time, do you write for SEO? I said, do you read my material? Are you kidding me? Oh, but, I mean, all kidding aside, if I look at the material... and I read it, and I agree with it, and I say again, like a copyright editor, or better yet, ghostwriter, do you know how much information from all the people that the internet and the world holds up as supposedly fantastically smart and everything else because they sold books? Do you know how many people don't know that most of the books that they read are ghostwritten? Do you know how cheap it is or was to have a book completely written for you that nobody will know? Again, written with. No. You can get somebody to write it completely and you pay the fee where they don't get any credit. It's just you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm here to tell you, you would not believe some of the big names that you read that probably never even read what is authored under their name. I've known this for a long time. You probably have too. But now this AI assistant falls into the same realm, doesn't it? Because if I'm reading it, if I'm approving it, if I may be adding or deleting something that I don't agree with, I don't like the way that it's this, or or it's that. But again, through my acumen, look at it and approve of it and say, yes, that's exactly what I think. That's exactly what I would say. That's said better than me. It's just the same pretty much as me sending my stuff to the lowly copyright editor who goes through my stuff. I've probably put more people prematurely into a grave with copy editors after they get a hold of my stuff. I mean, they're just pulling their hairs out and everything. You know, just teasing. But again, you get it. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way the world has worked for a long time. It's still that person's ideas or that person's viewpoint expressed different ways where somebody else might say, maybe you should say, instead of saying it this way for a paragraph, say it this way for a page. Yep, that's the way the world works. And there's nothing wrong with that. Which is the key. Because the credible entities, the credible people that do that, they segregate themselves in certain ways so that you know. Part of it is by price. Part of it is by availability. And the reason why it's like that is because they don't care about what the masses, because the masses don't really care. They're just reading something and they're not going to remember. Other people, the people who are really, let's just say, wanting this type of information, understand that they're an elite group. They understand this. And they want their information. And they want information that they believe that they can act upon that's true. They might not agree with it. But they understand that there's real thought into it. There's real, like, acumen behind it. Which is one of the reasons why we're going down the model that we're going down. And I'm showing you what I'm showing you. Because the thing about it is, I'm telling you. I'm showing you detail by detail. In example after example, I don't know how long this is going to go for, but this is just the very beginning with these two articles. I've shown you in two different examples of one using somebody's and one using no one's. And we're going to move into a couple of different areas before this finally ends. I'll probably go another four or five different parts, but just so that you know. But the reason for it, this is, it's not for me because I'm just showing you. It's because of what I try to discuss with you all the time. I have more respect for you than basically the entirety of the internet does. Again, you being here by dint, this is not your basic show and website that you find across the internet. Never has been. It's one of the reasons why it's still around. Still, why it's read, again, still globally. Not as big as I was before I shut down, but little by little, people are coming back with no advertising, no social media, no nothing. People are just coming back. People, again, who were subscribers or knew or used to read me prior before we shut down. And to all of you, I thank you. Again, I hold nobody more dear to my heart except my family. But these are the important points that you have to understand. And these are the things that are going to be invaluable to you going forward. And on that, I'm getting the signal I'm going long again. Here's what we'll do. When I come back, we'll pick up something else that nobody has been thinking about that has nothing to do with AI. Or maybe has everything.
Just a show note, new episodes are posted Monday through Friday. Now Live represents the latest. All others are that days prior. Now, back to Mark.
Hello everyone and welcome back. All right, as we wrap up today, what I want to do is I said that I was going to touch on something that maybe has nothing to do with AI, but has everything to do with AI. And it's pretty much an extension of a conversation I had with a friend over the weekend when he asked me a question. And I was trying to explain it. And the question was basically this: when it comes to AI, what about, you know, in the stock markets? What's going to happen with the markets? What do you think is going to happen? And I said to him, we already have that. AI, let me explain. AI, I believe, really can't do trading. Now, when I say that, a lot of people are going to say, oh, you're full of crap. We're already doing that. Well, we are and we aren't. Because what I'm talking about is AI running actual trading programs and trading in the market of buying and selling and making, you know, using technical analysis and using volumes and using different spreadsheets and everything else based on, again, certain circumstances of whether or not they're going to put on a trade, take off a trade, hold a trade, blah, blah, blah. Now, it can do that stuff very well to a point. The problem that it can't do is when the information of the garbage in, garbage out happens to make trading in real time in that type of stuff. Why? Because it can't discern. It's going to be formulated. It's not going to think. It's artificial intelligence. Remember, it's a statistical engine. It's not an intelligent engine to formulate thought. So if I tell it, if somebody says XYZ and it hears XYZ, it's going to, boom, act on that. However, if you're in a room or you're watching somebody and they say XYZ and you know it's in a wink, wink fashion, you're going to act differently. Are you not? This is the problem with people with AI and trading. It's one of the reasons also why your trading programs go crazy, because these bots get released at certain times and make the market go nuts because it read a headline, read this, read that, until somebody takes control and says, okay, this really wasn't what it is. We got to put on or take off and do this type of stuff. What AI is doing right now, so that you understand what it is doing that has polluted and completely just ruined the markets. They call it the efficiency hypothesis, right? It's created efficiency. Well, it did at one point, but now with the algorithmic box, and if you remember correctly, one of my leading articles that started me down into this whole, again, across all of these global media sites in finance, where this guy must be understanding something, was my original article, if HFT, high-frequency trading algorithms, were people, they'd be perp-walked. That headline at the time, going back now nearly 10 years ago, at that time, never mind FBI calling for people like me to be locked up, that generated a response from the FBI looking into it. We documented it all back then. It ran on Zero Hedge, and Zero Hedge showed that they were actually, again, starting to look into this based on that headline and that story that I wrote. Why is this important? Because the high-frequency trading algorithms are not the same when you think of AI. Very important point to understand. The difference between AI, and this is what happens when you see, as I have demonstrated time and time again, I've written lists for, you know, we got Jack Dorsey, we got Mark Zuckerberg, and we got, you know, this person, that person, because I can't remember the names, from Microsoft and Google and up here. We're asking, you know, we're senators and we're congressmen, and we're asking these very tough questions. And you hear the questions and you say, oh my God, I mean, do they not understand that they're talking about a fax machine rather than the internet? I mean, it's just like these people have no clue of the questions that they should ask. Do you remember the question that was always asked? Well, who's responsible? And the, again, the defensive answer from all of them, well, it's the algorithms. Well, yeah. Oh, well, it's the algorithms. Well, obviously, you know, there's nothing we could do because that's the machine. Who programs the algorithms, I used to say. And I was one of the first to say it in public. Ask the question, who programs the algorithms? It has to be a human. The machines aren't approving the algorithms. Humans are. Especially when, again, they're doing X, Y, and Z, and everybody knows it. And everybody said I was nuts. And now you have it for your own, again, proof that I was one of the first people to say and to ask the question and demand it that they should have been asking it in Congress. But they didn't until they found it out from where? Taibbi in the Twitter files. Matt Taibbi has done a yeoman's work on breaking out those Twitter files and him and the different associates. But you find out, what was it? It was algorithms. Sure was. Programmed by people to use these words. And you saw how it was with websites and how it was with names and how it was with X and Y and Z. And everybody that told me that what I was telling them that was happening to me could not happen, you saw it in black and white. They showed it to you right there. That's how they did it. That's how they shadow banned us. It was right there. Again, people like myself, Charles, and we didn't know what we were talking about. Right. There you go. Does this little consequence? I mean, you know, who do I sue to get my reputation back? If you're going to be doing, you know, some type of a class action suit against them, yeah, I'd like to join that. Call me. But again, all of this is in conjunction with what? If you don't know, and you don't know how to discern, then you're going to be making the conclusions incorrectly, which could be costly. Back to my AI. These high-frequency trading bots, they're using AI, but they're not using AI in any type of, again, this is a big general understanding. You know, again, this is refined down to just make it understandable. But what they've done, HFT with the computers, is what they're doing is they are going in between, to give you an example, you want to put on a trade. So you say, I want to buy something at a dollar. Somebody wants to sell you that stock or that option, whatever the case may be. And they'll sell it to you at $1.10, say. You don't want to pay $1.10. You want to pay a dollar. They don't want to sell it to you for a dollar. They want $1.10. Well, you have a marketplace of what? Different people who can offer that $1.10. Because they have some to sell too. And they might say, hey, I don't need $1.10. I'll take $1.09. So you see their bid out there for $1.09. But you say, still high. Still too high. I'm sticking to my buck. So there's a bid and there's an offer, but there's no sale. Now stay with me because this is important to understand. There's no sale. So you say, All right, I'll give you $1. I'll raise my bid $1. The other two people, they say, nope, staying to us. But somebody else says, well, you know what? I was just looking around my garage, and I got a box full of those stocks that I don't want anymore. Hey, you know what? I'll sell it to you, and I'll sell it to you really cheap. I'll sell it to you for, you want $1. You know what? I want to move this and move this now. I'll sell it to you. I'll cut them. Forget that $1.10, $1.09. I'll sell it to you right now for $1.03. You would probably jump on that, right? Wrong. You might not ever see that $1.03. Because the thing about it is, you might actually wait and start to lower, or somebody else lowers bids, or whatever the case may be, but you might not see the $1.03 because the high-frequency trader will come in and it understands, based on the different things that happened prior, it might offer them $1.02 or $1. They'll say, oh, you got $1.03. The machine say, you want $1.03. We'll give you $1 for it. They go, yeah, a couple of pennies. Yeah, sure, take it all for $1. And then they take it. You never saw that bid for $1.03. They bid $1 for it. They bought it for $1. And then they just sell it to you for $1.01. They make the penny. Now, the thing is, understand, let me go through this because I might have messed it up. So let me just make it clear. You got $1, you're bidding $1. Somebody wants $1.10. You're not moving, they're not moving. Somebody else comes into the market, I'll sell it to you for $1.09. You sticking with your dollar. I'm not moving. So the $1.10 person, $1.09 person, they're sitting there, they're not moving either. Somebody looks up and goes, hey, I got out this whole box of this stuff that you want. I'll sell it for $1.03. Machine sit there and wait for it. He's going to sell it for $1.03, $1.03. But you're not going to see that because that's going to be on what they call the black end, the dark side, where the HFTs work that you can't see. So you never see this $1.03 bid, never comes to your vision. All you see is what? $1.09, $1.10. So you're all sitting there and you say, okay, I'll raise my bid to $1.01. So in this dark pool, the machines go, and instead of bidding for the $1.03, they bid the $1.03 at $1. Now you say, yeah, but I was bidding $1. Yeah, but your bid is, as far as this dark pool is concerned, it's like it's operating in some distant universe. Can't be seen on both sides. So when you come in for $1.01, it bids and buys what? It bids the dollar against that $1.03 or $1.02, and it gets them and it buys them at its price, which is a penny under you. And then dumps that stock at your higher price at $1.01, and it makes the penny. In other words, it bought the stuff that was at $1.03. It made a bid for $1, even though you had $1, and you're not seen. This is all happening in some other pool. It gets transacted. And then for, again, the dollar, your bid of $1.01, it fills that, and that's market high efficiency. Why? Well, it created a sale for $1. You were asking $1, and it filled you with $1. So there you go. Well, no. I would have probably been filled at $1 had this parasite not got in between us. Why did I need that high-frequency trade algorithm to buy at $1 when I was bidding $1 also? How come it was allowed to pay for it, to buy it at $1 when my bid was not shown? And then when I raised my bid to $1, it took the same stock that I was trying to buy for $1 that it bought for $1 and sold it to me. And I'm supposed to be happy. Ham-fisted example. I know, but now you get it. But that's not artificial intelligence per se, as you understand it. That is robotic type functions. And people argue all the time like that's artificial intelligence. Well, technically, I understand technically it is. But discerning between the two and understanding the difference between the two is the same as understanding, am I working with an algorithm here? Okay, but if it's an algorithm, who's writing it? Or, well, Mark, you know, the algorithms can now be written by artificial intelligence. That's fine. Then who's approving them? And if there's no human interaction between the two, then I want to know. Because that's the deciding, that's where we need to have legislation to be able to discern that. Because in a world of, let's just say, a lawyers, if lawyers representing you start fabricating briefs and things like this using artificial intelligence, but they're not even reading it, basically, or they're not smart enough to understand the stuff that the, again, computer is giving out to them and submitting it to the court, as we showed in this latest example, where the judge said, this is garbage. What's the recourse? What's the recourse from you as the litigant against your own lawyer? Are you able to sue them for, again, a miscarriage of justice in charging you and representing you? Just like, who's responsible for that other article that I gave you? We brought it up here, where we have a radio host whose credibility and name was maligned by saying that he was in a lawsuit and found guilty in something that he did not do. Well, the AI said that he did, going out on the web and whatever. That's okay, that's fine. Whom decided to run the article? Because it's not the AI's fault. It's the, again, the one responsible is the one that's put it out there. And then how are we going to tell? Where are you going to have protection in both your business and personal life from this? Because the whole thing about all of this and why I brought this forth is because of this. The web will now be absolutely flooded in a whole new 2.2, whatever you want to say. Like, remember, as I said to you earlier, writing for SEO, writing for clicks, writing for this, writing for that. Well, a lot of that was garbage-based too. This is going to be able to just take that garbage base now and amplify it, which is really why I'm putting all of this out there now, because most people don't have an understanding of, never mind what they think is coming down the pike. I'm telling you what you have to look at now, which is where the value proposition is. So on that note, I will see you tomorrow.
This concludes today's broadcast. All rights reserved.